Welcome to The Word at Westminster, a podcast with talks, studies, interviews, sermons, and more from Westminster Church in Barrie, Canada. It's about learning and living God's Word. Hey everyone, welcome to this episode of The Word at Westminster, and this is all about Kristen Stouffer, who's our new communications coordinator. So the purpose of this, as it said in the announcement, was really just so that you can find out a bit more about Kristen and also a bit more about her role. And the reality is that, you know, through the pandemic, people haven't been, you know, in person or seeing each other, interacting face to face as much. And so some of you will know her, but some of you maybe don't know her that much. So this is going to be an opportunity to learn a bit more about her. And actually, I realized just before we got on here that Kristen has actually been on the podcast before, back in July 2021. There's an episode, you can scroll back and find it, where she gives her faith statement on the Sunday she was baptized. And I recently re-listened to it. It was so nice. Anyway, that was a kind of a great remembrance of that interview. So thank you for taking a few minutes to be with us, Kristen.
Yeah, my pleasure.
So tell us a bit about yourself, and you know, how would you, you know, describe yourself to a stranger?
Okay, so I came really prepared and wrote everything out. So forgive me for reading off of a sheet of paper.
That's okay. But, that's okay.
Yeah, I had to think about that. That's interesting because I can't remember the last time somebody would have asked me a question like that, and you don't think about it that often, but. I was thinking the first thing I would say is that I'm saved and blessed. Those every morning when I wake up, I always feel blessed, and I have this beautiful coffee cup that says, you know, you're blessed. And I feel like it's being reaffirmed every day, and I see it every day. So that's, I'd say in the last few years, that's really come to encompass my identity and the way I look at the world around me too. It's changed a lot of things. I think I always felt blessed, but you know, when you don't know who to thank for it, that there's something big missing. There's a gaping hole, right? I definitely love to be creative and inventive. I can be quiet at times, but I'm also very social. I love my family and my friends and meeting new people. So my family and I, in our spare time, we spend a lot of time up at my parents' cottage near Haliburton. We love it up there. I've been going there since I was born. My parents built it the year I was born. My mom was pregnant.
Nice. It's gorgeous up there.
Absolutely gorgeous. Yeah. So that's been a huge blessing in my life. We tend to be more homebodies in the winter, I'd say. We hope to change that. We live really close to Horseshoe, so we probably should change that. my favorite book right now I wrote down is If You Will Ask by Oswald Chambers. If you haven't read it, I highly recommend it. It's about the power of prayer, and it's a very short read, but it's an amazing read that kind of spirals you into all kinds of other things. Right now, my favorite song is 10,000 Reasons, Bless the Lord. And I listen to the Matt Redman version on my YouTube Music on repeat. I really love it. In my other time, I guess for the most part, I just like to spend time with my kids and my husband. I'd say my favorite time of day is bedtime, because the kids and I sit down and I do read alouds with them. And right now we're reading Christian Heroes Then and Now series, and they absolutely love it. And I would not have guessed that they would even sit through one of them. And they love them, and they're written so well. And it's all about people's faith journeys, and they're just amazing books. Again, if you haven't read them.
Is that about biblical characters or people through history? People of faith through history.
Oh, okay. People through history. So yeah, we just finished Corrie Ten Boom, which was incredible. That I'd say that's one of the best ones we've read. We really like George Mueller, but you know, he started an orphanage and housed over 10,000 children. But great stories and great, it's amazing, these living history books. I'm amazed at how awesome they are. And the kids ask me questions about stuff that, I mean, you can't believe you're talking about with your kids, right? It's pretty cool. So they're really great books, written really well. So I feel like that's me in a nutshell. And I'd say just right now that I'm really looking forward to this next chapter of life. A lot of things are changing for our family, and I think it's going to be a really good season. I think we've been through a lot, and now it's time to get out and see the world and spread the good news and, you know, share in this ministry. And I'm really excited about it.
Oh, that's great. Especially when you're at the start of a new chapter, to feel positive as you're going into that chapter, that's such a good thing.
Yes. Instead of dragging your heel. Yeah. You don't want
So
that.
we're going to do, before I go to the next question, let me tell people too, those books, Oswald Chambers and the other one that
Yeah.
you're reading about time, we'll put the titles and links to that in the
Oh,
notes of
awesome.
this, so you can just scroll down and check those out. So
Cool.
yeah, when did you become a part of the Westminster Church family, and why?
So a few years ago, my friend Jackie, who some of you might know, she attends Westminster, invited me to church with her one Sunday. And it was just a cool series of events that led to it, where I was becoming more interested in faith, and I had another friend who was always talking about Jesus, and there was no, there was no embarrassment around the way she said the word Jesus. I felt like she just loved him, and she talked about the day she met him, and I mentioned all of that when I was baptized in that story you were mentioning on the podcast. But yeah, so I all of that was sort of happening. So I feel like all of these seeds were being planted for me, and when I came to Westminster on that Sunday, I just loved it. I loved the people and the community. And then most importantly, obviously, I fell in love with Jesus. I just it was I can't recall how far into after having come to the church, but I feel like it all happened fairly rapidly. And once I accepted him into my life, everything changed. And then the church became, even that much more important. And I felt a great desire to be there and to serve and to offer my help in ways that I could, and to be a better example for my kids. And there were so many things going into all of that. And so it was a great transition in life. And I feel like it was coming, and it was really cool because there were so many facets that I feel like no matter what, it was gonna come. Like I just had to let it in. And when you ignore things and kind of keep going on with your regular life, and I don't think he was gonna keep persisting. I was getting there. So I was definitely led there. I felt very, very much like it was home when I got there.
That's awesome. And it's neat how when all these things do come together, then you can kind of look back on your
Yes.
life and over certain events, and you see, oh yeah, God was working on me this way and introducing this factor. Then this occurred, like all these pieces that you see, but kind of
Yeah.
only in the rearview mirror after it's kind of like, yes, Jesus is who he says he is. And I love him and I want to
Yes.
follow him. And all of a sudden you can see him working in the background.
Right. Yeah. Things came together. So.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
So specifically around church communications, that includes, I'm gonna do a bit of a list here so people know, our social media, website, online communications, bulletin, graphics, podcasts, smartphone app, like there's a variety of things. So, online and digital media and communications has increased a lot in the church in the past 10 years, and even more so in the past, 3 or 4. So just like what positive role do these types of things play in the life of a congregation?
I was just kind of thinking, like, especially nowadays, like you were saying, the opportunity to share information. I know there can be a lot of negative things we put on technology, but there's a positive part to that too, and that's the access we have to so many people and to each other. Without completely infiltrating each other's lives, we are at each other's fingertips when we need people, and that's a pretty cool thing. So I kind of see the opportunity where if I can communicate effectively and hopefully aesthetically, everything that's going into our events and our news and our fellowship, that we can come together and work together to spread the good news and to lift each other up at church. I think the more exciting and effective we are at communicating it, right, the more likely we are to participate. So, I think there becomes an excitement behind it. We'll put the effort into really boosting that and getting people excited and wanting to join in and come together. Because I think once we're together, there's so much we can accomplish. So we just need that bridge, that communication to share the information and hopefully also, catch the attention of people who are there waiting, who have those seeds planted, who are waiting to see that one post that sparks. And I mean, it can really, you know, God can use anything. So, you know, can as trivial as it is, that he can absolutely use social media too, right? So.
Yeah, it's like we have this diet of, you know, we have a food diet, but we also have this digital or online diet that we consume. And so much of the stuff is negative all the time. Not just news stories, but stuff, a post, you see something that, you know, makes you feel upset or this or that or whatever. So stuff that's, you know, faith-based is so uplifting. And it's kind of like this kind of refreshing insertion into your digital day of all these good things. So I'm excited that you're going to be a big part of that and kind of what the church is doing.
Yes, me too.
Yeah,
definitely.
So last thing on this bit of an introduction, 1 Peter 3:15. So the apostle Peter has this very, very well-known line. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. So giving the reason for the hope that you have. So yeah, just, you know, you've shared a bit about your faith already, but just, yeah, what's the reason for your hope?
This is a big question and an important question. So the reason for my hope in, especially in the moments that I'm overwhelmed or, excuse me, just feeling like I've lost my way, lost sight of things. I always think of this verse. It's Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That verse really triggers something in me. And I often will actually look up at the clouds, and I know in my heart that he's there and that he's coming back. And he's not going to forsake me or leave me, that he's always with me. And all of the problems that I'm encountering that day become small. They, in compared to, you know, what's really important in this life, which is where we're going to spend eternity. All those problems just fall away, or they fall to him. And I know I can give them to him, and that I'm not alone. And I think, you know, in at that point, you can breathe a sigh of relief, and you realize that the things that you're letting affect you aren't really the big picture. They're not, they're just this breath of a life that you're having here now. And all you have to do is trust in him. Just to finish off, I wrote down, you know, it gives you a new heavenly perspective, and it's a pretty amazing gift, and it's free. So, yeah, so that's, I'd say that kind of encompasses how I would share my hope in Jesus with someone else.